The government claims the plans to enter the ship's hull violates a federal law which treats the wreck as a gravesite. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
A potentially deadly topping on a pizza in California.
Kern County Sheriff's deputies say they discovered a freshly baked pizza next to a driver they stopped for a traffic violation. When they opened the box, they found that the pizza was topped with pepperoni and a loaded gun. Deputies also finding a large amount of illegal drugs in the car, as well as a sawed-off shotgun and another loaded gun, as well as cash, scales, drug paraphernalia, and packing equipment. Four people in the car were arrested. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Stock futures are higher ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, and I'm Chris Foster, Fox News.
Good morning, 7:05 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne right now. Mostly cloudy skies. It is 60 degrees here in Pensacola today. Starting out, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
All right, we still have that accident, I-10 westbound at Pine Forest. It's blocking all the westbound lanes. FHP has set up a detour at exit 10. We're still watching that. So if you have any traffic tips, please text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, just so you know, they've actually got westbound closed, apparently, and they're taking people off of West 10 at 29, so you got to exit I-10. Okay. And if you're going eastbound and you're coming to 9 Mile, I'd take 9 Mile, because it's a mess. It's really a mess this morning, so work around.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much for that update. We'll keep an eye on those traffic issues here throughout the morning. A couple from Milton have now safely returned from Israel, where they were touring with a church group when those deadly Hamas attacks began on Saturday.
Well, I would say that we were safe most of the time. It seemed like the places that we had just visited were getting shelled, hit by rockets and things like that. So
that's Jonathan Wingate, and both he and his wife, Juliet, landed back in Pensacola last night, days after the fighting began in Israel. The couple were touring the Dead Sea when Hamas attacked last Saturday. Ultimately, they returned to Jerusalem, encountered incoming rocket attacks, and then their church group went to the nearby Jordan border, where they were able to evacuate the country and make it to an airport, eventually catching a connecting flight back here to Pensacola. A Pensacola man accused of holding a woman and a child hostage last weekend is now accused of killing his cousin back in September. 26-year-old Jerry Foster is charged with first-degree premeditated murder. Now, this is related to the death of 38-year-old Jarvis Johnson. He was found dead at a home on Emerald Avenue September 9th. That's in the Oak Crest neighborhood. Sheriff Chip Simmons tells Channel 3 the two alleged crimes are not linked, but they did find evidence that was.
We do believe at this time that the gun that was used in the homicide is the same gun that was used to false imprison the mother of his child, and also the one that we seized.
And investigators believe the shooting back in September was related to a family dispute between the two cousins. Well, the FWC defending how they put down a deer in Flagler County. A Palm Coast man called the sheriff's office after he was bit by a deer recently. Deputies and an FWC officer responded to that call. They caught the deer, tied it to a telephone pole, and body cam video apparently showed one officer cutting the deer's throat before another officer shot the deer. The FWC says that was necessary because it was behaving abnormally and aggressively, and they also say they had to keep the brain intact to test the animal for rabies. A neighbor, though, described it as a very violent way to end a life. It is 7:08 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Light showers through the morning hours. That rain chance will slowly subside throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies throughout the afternoon and evening. 74 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. We'll be a little bit warmer as we go into Friday. 84 degrees for your high. 20% chance of a stray shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 60 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, 60 in Milton. Your next news at 7:30. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
This year's WSRE Wine and Food Classic will pay tribute to the legendary chefs of PBS and celebrate rising stars like the final three from The Great American Recipe. Now's the time to get your tickets for a legendary dinner in the WSRE Amos Studio on October 14th and for the 33rd annual Walkabout Tasting on October 21st at the SCI Building in downtown Pensacola. Go to WSRE.org for tickets and event details.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
One team's meeting on this, and I was sitting in this meeting for an hour and a half, and one of the things that came up was the U.S. Department of Forestry was saying that on a given year, they give out $33 million on a given year, and in this, they've got $1.5 billion to give away, and they just don't have the scale. So it's going to be a while before we know exactly. Because they didn't ramp up. I think it's something like 134 times higher than what they're normally giving out as far as grants. So it's going to be a process.
Yeah, I got the math a little bit differently, but he may be referring to a number that I'm not quite seeing. This is Chris Stoltz. He is the arborist for the city of Pensacola, talking about the grant money that is coming to the city of Pensacola, the $1 million of which $700,000 goes for new trees. And I wanted you to hear the issue there is they don't really know what the rules are going to be for putting these trees in. They know broad strokes it's going to go to underserved areas, poor neighborhoods, okay? But it looks like the rules are going to be fairly restrictive. Not a surprise. Federal money comes with federal restrictions. And they don't know what those rules are going to be. He said he spent, the 45 minutes on the or 80 minutes on this call. And what he really learned was, no, this is going to be harder than it seems. The reason that matters is because the city of Pensacola has gone through this big tree canopy study, rightly so, and they have this assessment, and out of that assessment, they have tried to figure out where is the most strategic advantage for trees to be planted, which is why you do, a canopy study. And there are like three or four main factors in figuring out where's the right place to put trees.
We figured out where we had existing trees, and that's that slide with the green and the gray. Those are existing right-of-way trees. And then we decided, okay, so where do we have overhead utilities? Because we don't want to put large trees where there's going to be an overhead problem in the future. So that's what we have there on our second slide. Our second photograph there is where all the overhead utilities have been recognized near trees. So then we went to our next slide. Our next slide is urban heat. Where is it the hottest in the city?
So with each slide, you're restricting the ideal target zone more and more. The first slide or the first layer is you want to find where there aren't already trees. Because if there's already trees, what's the point? You want to find where there's no overhead utilities because you don't want to plant trees only to have them, butchered every couple of years by FPNL, right? I mean, makes sense. You put them where they can grow and grow and grow. Third, you want to find places where you get the best benefit to reducing heat for the population, which is, high asphalt, low trees, typically poor neighborhoods, heat zones, right? That's urban heat. Then you also want to look at, you know, where the disadvantaged areas, because they're going to have trouble creating, providing trees for themselves, basically. They're not going to invest in landscaping the way wealthier areas will invest, and so that's also a layer that you look at.
Now, what's not shown in here is an additional two more slides having to do with economic and social vulnerabilities that I didn't put on here. But what you end up with at the end of these five or six slides is this last slide. And this tells us where we should be concentrating our tree planting efforts.
Right. So if you put in all of those zones, all those layers, you eventually get, oh, here's the right place for us to plant trees. Poorer neighborhoods, high heat index areas. There are not trees there now because it'll make a difference to have the trees, and there are no overhead power lines. Okay. So let's go to those areas. That's what the trees canopy study was supposed to produce, and they were ready to go. And then the feds come in and wrinkle all this up by giving us $1 million. You wouldn't normally think giving us $1 million is going to be a problem. But because the $1 million and the $700,000 directly for trees is going to take care of a lot of the areas we would otherwise do with our tree planting trust fund, the money that comes from when you dig up trees or cut down trees or clear land or whatever, then, you know, we would be dumb to spend our money in areas that the feds are going to already spend money to put trees in. So where, figure out where the Fed money is going to cover, because it's going to be very restrictive, that grant money, and then plant our stuff with our money somewhere else. Well, we don't know where their money is going to go, so we kind of have to put the ideal targets on hold because we think we can use the federal money for that, and we need to use our money somewhere else. And the somewhere else, as we've talked about before, is going to be neighborhoods that are probably a little bit more affluent. They have community programs, not community program, but a homeowners association, not HOA, what am I thinking of? The neighborhood associations that are willing to do the work, and they can also guarantee the watering. That's another big part of this. In the poorer areas where, you know, he's going to have to do contracts to plant trees and water for a year. Well, in the, you know, the nicer areas where they've got the people to do it, they will water the trees for you. That means the tree survives. So you don't waste your money. In any case, shifting to those areas because you get more trees in the ground faster. And right now we're in oak season soon. You can't plant oaks like in May or June, or even now, you got to do it like sort of November, December, January is my understanding. So if we're going to start to do that, we got to make some decisions pretty quickly, and we're going to have to make them before the federal money is available. So the net takeaway from all of that is that if we're going to make the most of the money we have and the assessment that we've done and the money that is coming, but we can't spend yet because we don't know the restrictions, this is how we're going to do it. We'll come back to this in a second. Jake is sitting in this morning training for Candy with Traffic on the Fives.
Yes, the wet roads are really making for a mess out there this morning. I-10 westbound at Pine Forest, we have an accident blocking all those westbound lanes. FHP is setting up detours, so please be use caution in that area. Another accident on Highway 29 and Detroit Boulevard. It's backed up in all directions there. Also, I'm just now seeing Chemukla Highway and Norris Road. There is a vehicle crash. So in that area, please use caution as well. If you have any traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So just when you thought you had escaped the westbound 10 stuff by getting off 29 where the road's closed, then all of a sudden there's an accident in Detroit. Great. This is why we can't have nice things. All right, 717 on News Radio 92.3. By the way, if you're going east on 10, I would recommend getting off at 9 Mile and going east, and you know, just avoid all of it if you can, because otherwise it's going to be a pretty unfun morning for you. So back to this tree. I mean, it's already a little bit unfun. But hey, you got me, you know, so there's that, if that counts for anything. Anyway, so they're going to reallocate trees away from what they had been the ideal zones because the federal money is going to come in and take care of those zones. We think, we hope, but we can't do it yet because we're waiting on the restrictions to come down and the rules, because they're overburdened with having to give away $1.5 billion of infrastructure grant money from the feds when they passed that bill. That's where all this money came to plant trees in poor neighborhoods. Short version of a long story. So this raised to me a question, which is, and I'm so glad that Jen Brer brought this up, because it was exactly the right question, and it gets at that issue of, so we don't want to waste our money in these areas when the feds are going to fund that, right? Because that would be to squander their money.
With the reallocation because of the $1 million grant, potentially, and since you highlighted the most vulnerable area there as, in my mind, overlaps the same type of usage for the million.
Pretty much, yes.
Or so are you going to go through with that? Or are we going to reallocate that so that we can use the money there?
Well, we're going to sort of reallocate, but at the same time, you know, oaks are seasonal. You got to get those in the ground now. That's kind of what he was saying. So, no, it's a great question. And I always like to give credit when people ask good questions that, you know, are aware of the things that they're talking about. I also want to give praise to Charles Baer. Listen, I know you hear me criticize a lot of our, you know, council members in Milton, commissioners in both counties, and sure, fair enough. But I also do my best to try to give them credit when they say good things. And I thought what he said in the meeting on Thursday was, or on Monday, the agenda review, was so important. It was great to hear because the tree planting trust fund is populated with money from cutting and developing. A lot of that cutting and developing took place in his district, District 2, Sherry Meyer's old district. And she had a habit of frequently complaining that money wasn't coming back to District 2 appropriately, either from the Tree Planting Trust Fund or from other things. And I love to hear him say this.
And I know that there are areas of the city that have a lot more trees than others. And in my district, there are parts that had a lot more trees. They lost some during a tornado. But still, if you look at the whole city, you know, there's places that have a lot less trees than we do. So I'm not saying that we need trees just because the money came from there. I know that's been said before when we take out trees, when we have damage. I mean, everyone's had damage. We've had clear cutting of different places.
That is a refreshingly city-centric view of the situation instead of my district-centric view of the situation. So kudos, Charles. That's I love to hear it. It's very refreshing. 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. 437-1620 is my phone number if you want to text me with any of your comments. And, you know, I know it's frustrating, the driving right now, I understand. But if driving in a car you don't love is making you think, well, if I'm going to have to spend time in my car, maybe I'd rather have a car that I do love. Frontier Motors, that's what I say. You know, if you don't love your car, you should. You deserve better. You shouldn't have to endure your car. Okay, you should enjoy your car. So go to Frontier, you know, maybe not like today, but maybe today, that's fine. You know, after work, whatever, or tomorrow or on Saturday. And just look and see. Get informed. See what almost new cars, a year, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good prices, what's available, what the price would be. See, make an adult decision. If you're ready to get into something that you will actually enjoy, that you'll be able to like driving and look forward to driving and not have to, you know, put up with and complain about and dread every day, like is sometimes the case when you kind of get to that place with your relationship with your car where it really ought to end. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Discouraged, defeated, disappointed, you're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
We're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
He says they've already got one. Are you sure he's got one?
Oh, yes, it's very nice, sir.
Getting a number of interesting texts in here about the traffic, 437-1620. I'll share that with you. One person who is a former law enforcement says, you know, what happens is whenever there's rain, you know, a wet day, whenever we report a crash, I always anticipate hearing about secondary crashes on the detour routes because, well, people aren't used to driving that way, right? And you have more traffic there than you normally have. And I said, yeah, especially on wet days. And, you know, it says, well, with as much rain as we get here, you'd think people would be better at wet driving. But I think we all know that's not true. We're all so used to dry. And all of a sudden, what do you mean I can't go around that corner 30 miles an hour? What are you talking about? 437-1620. Somebody here gives a note that traffic is backed up heading west on 9 Mile from Ashland to Pine Forest because of all the other stuff. And then this is my favorite. I love learning things. You know, I love science. I love, you know, understanding the world better. And somebody texts this in. I haven't had a chance to verify this, but I think it's probably right. It makes sense. When water makes contact with asphalt, he says, a chemical reaction happens. It releases large amounts of moron gas. That's got to be the best text we've gotten in a year. I love good joke writing. That's great joke writing. That's awesome. Moron gas. Sorry, that's just... Jake is filling in for Candy this morning, kind of learning the ropes, doing a great job. Welcome to the show, Jake. You got traffic on the fives.
I do, moron gas. That's great. I-10 westbound, of course, we have that blockage there for the westbound lanes. I'll let Mr. McKay fill you in on the side streets until I learn this area a little better. Another accident, Highway 29, Detroit Boulevard, backed up in all directions there. Chemukla Highway, Norris Road, we have a vehicle crash there. Also, I'm just seeing now North Old Quarryfield Road and Srant Drive in Pensacola there. There was an accident there earlier, but it looks like it might be clear already. If you have any traffic tips, please text us at 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
By the way, moron gas is in the same category on the periodic chart as argon and xenon, in case you're wondering. It's a noble gas. David, y'all are awesome. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, you had me, too, because I was... I'm like, oh, this is great. Okay.
Oh, asphalt,
what's going on?
Water, yeah, rubber that's, in the that tires. Sounds that legit. Makes sense.
Moron
right. Where's
gas.
He going with this moron gas?
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel today to show U.S. support after the Hamas attacks. He's holding talks with Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister there, and other Israeli leaders as they try to secure the freedom of the hostages kidnapped by Hamas. Carly Russell was found guilty of faking her abduction yesterday. You probably remember that story. Back in July, she called police in Hoover, Alabama, claiming she saw a toddler on the side of the road. Then she disappeared for about 48 hours. A few weeks after returning home, she admitted she made up the story. Yesterday, a judge found her guilty of charges related to that and recommended 1 year in jail.
And fines, like 18 yes. grand, 19 grand, something in that vicinity, too.
Yeah, quite yeah. a bit. And I'm not sure how this has not yet become a federal holiday, but today is National Gumbo Day.
We've been eating gumbo since the 18th century. It's a stew using meat or shellfish with the Holy Trinity, celery, bell peppers, and onions, but it does not have to have okra. Its origins are a mix of French, African, Spanish, and Native American, and there are gumbo rules. Get that roux nice and brown, no tomatoes, the ratio is two parts gumbo, one part rice, and you have to eat it out of a bowl. I'm Bree Tennis, NBC News Radio.
I'm not sure what else you would actually eat gumbo out of.
Right, exactly. I don't know. I love the south-splaining she's doing right there. That's great. And it's a roux, what'd she call it? It's a roux stew.
Yes, a roux stew.
It's a roux stew.
A roux stew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we can make something out of that. All right. National Gumbo
Now, do
day.
You prefer yours with or without the okra?
If the okra isn't going to get, like, the cartilage stuck in my in my gums like tortilla chips, I'm fine. I like the okra. But okra is such a dicey thing.
Yeah.
You know? Like fried okra. I love fried okra.
Absolutely.
Except when you've got the cartilage bits or what. I don't know what else to call them, but they're like, you know, the razor sharp piece of plastic that's still in the okra after you cook it. I don't want that. That hurts me. I don't like that. That's unpleasant. And you got to chew and chew and chew, and then you spit it out anyway. So, no. You?
Well, I prefer, I like the fried okra. I love fried okra, yeah, yeah. But I don't like it in my gumbo.
In your gumbo, not in your gumbo. Okay. All right. Fair enough. You know, to each his own. That's why there are so many varieties of roux stew. 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If, you know, you might have noticed with a loved one, possibly your parents, it's the most common, but it could be sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, or a friend, that, you know, they're just not able to do as much for themselves anymore. You might even be helping them, driving them to the store. You might be helping them with cooking or cleaning. You might be helping them even with really basic activities of daily living, like bathing, dressing, grooming, toileting. You might even be hiring somebody to go take care of them in their own home. And at a certain point, that gets to be too much. And I know nobody likes to have this conversation. It's unpleasant to think about. It just is. But the best way to get them the assistance they need so they can have the independence that they can handle is to talk to my friend John Horton at Assisted Living Locators. He does this for people all the time. Just helps you figure out what's best for your loved ones, you know, what's the budget that you can work with, what are their interests and, you know, like quality of life issues that they're interested in. Because even once you decide on assisted living, there's like 30 different ones, and how do you pick one? Well, you call him because he knows them all and he doesn't charge anything to help you find the right one for your loved ones. 712-0887 or check him out online at assistedlivinglocators.com.
Secretary of State Abraham Lincoln in Tel Aviv meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Isaac Herzog.
Hamas has only one agenda, to destroy Israel and to murder Jews.
Netanyahu, alongside Secretary Blinken.
Hamas is ISIS. And just as ISIS was crushed, so too will Hamas be crushed.
Now, Blinken reports the number of Americans dead rises to 25. More than 1,300 Israelis have died. Tomorrow, Blinken will meet with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Day six, and the fighting rocket sirens ring across Jerusalem while Israel delivers missile strikes to the port of Gaza. And the House will meet at noon today. They don't have a speaker. Majority Leader Steve Scalise, the only candidate, but he doesn't have the 217 votes to grab the gavel. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731, News Radio 92.3, 60 degrees. It is mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. A 20-year-old Pensacola man will spend 4 years in prison for causing a fatal hit-and-run crash last year, then leaving the scene. The crash happened November 1st on Highway 29. It killed 53-year-old Lisa Rowe. Family members say Rowe was from out of town. She'd just arrived in Pensacola for a family gathering. Yahir Moreno pleaded guilty, pleaded no contest, I'm sorry, to those charges. And following his four-year sentence, Moreno will be on probation for 3 years. Alabama is set to get a big chunk of federal funding to help fight crime. Congressman Terry Sewell announced yesterday that $38 million will be divided into more than 30 initiatives. That'll be led by local law enforcement and community organizations. Half of the grant funding is expected to provide assistance to victims of crimes through the Alabama Department of Economic and Community Affairs. The Pensacola City Council got an update on tentative plans for the for money in the city's tree planting trust fund this week. Last week, the city announced that they'd been chosen for a $1 million federal grant, which will pay for planting trees in socially disadvantaged areas.
To be perfectly honest with you, the addition of the federal grant for $1 million kind of changes how we, or how I envisioned our spending of the city of our city trust fund money.
City arborist Chris Stoltz tells the council they need to analyze the grant, see where they'll be allowed to spend that money, and he expects the program to be heavily restrictive. Stoltz is hoping to use about $100,000 from the Tree Trust Fund to plant around 63 trees in more affluent areas of town, as the federal money will have to be used in the socially vulnerable neighborhoods. Stoltz is planning to go to the council to request approval for that project sometime in the next month. Well, celebrating the history of women in aviation, that's the theme this year for the Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show.
For 110 years, Naval Air Station Pensacola has been training sailors and officers, but it's only been 50 years since the first class of female naval aviators graduated. This year at the Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show, we're excited to recognize them and celebrate women in aviation.
And officials at NAS Pensacola are gearing up for this year's show. It's going to be held Friday and Saturday, November 3rd and 4th. While the Blue Angels have had hundreds of women on the team in support roles over the years, it wasn't until 2015 when Marine Corps Captain Katie Higgins became the first pilot in Blue Angel history, flying Fat Albert. This year's team features Lieutenant Amanda Lee, the first female F-18 pilot in team history. And Louisiana's Steve Scalise is the Republican choice to be the next House Speaker. Congressman Matt Gaetz tells Newsmax he and Ohio's Jim Jordan both impressed their colleagues while they made their pitches on Tuesday.
Both Scalise and Jordan offered really contrasting visions to that of Kevin McCarthy. Steve Scalise said time and again that we weren't doing enough to put the Democrats on the spot and to play offense.
And ultimately, Scalise did win the nomination. Now he takes his candidacy to the House floor, where he'll need 217 votes to get the seat. It is 7:35 at News Radio, and Jake's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
It's a real mess out there. We got I-10 westbound. All the westbound lanes are blocked there. FHP has set up a detour at Pine Forest, but there's another accident on Highway 29 at Detroit Boulevard, and that's backed up in all directions. Also, Chemukla Highway and Norris Road, there was a vehicle crash there. And Klondike Road and Mobile Highway, I'm just now seeing, it looks like it's slow in all directions, but I'm not seeing an accident reported yet. So if you have any traffic tips, please text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much for the update. 7:35, now our Channel 3 forecast.
Light showers through the morning hours. That rain chance will slowly subside throughout the day. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies throughout the afternoon and evening. 74 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. We'll be a little bit warmer as we go into Friday. 84 degrees for your high. 20% chance of a stray shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 60 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, and 60 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. The UAW went on strike at a Ford pickup truck plant in Kentucky last evening, escalating its nearly four-week labor action by hitting the automaker's largest factory. The plant's 8,700 workers walked off the job at 6:30 p.m., marking the largest strike action taken by the UAW at any of the three Detroit automakers since the union declared a strike against Ford, GM, and Stellantis in mid-September. The Louisville factory makes Super Duty pickup trucks and the Ford Expedition and Lincoln Navigator large SUVs, among the company's biggest moneymakers. Chipotle is planning to raise prices again. The chain, which did not share how much menu prices will rise, says it will put in place a modest price increase to offset inflation for the first time in over a year. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open. After stocks closed higher yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 65. The NASDAQ added 96. That's Your Money Now.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take the stress and cost out of health care. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth is the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience news team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and joining us now, as he does every single Thursday at this time, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department, Mike Wood. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Morning,
Hold on. Let's start over one more time. Go ahead, Mike. We had turned you off for reasons that, you know, just happened. Go ahead.
Yeah, my wife wishes she could do that, too. But good morning, Andrew, Jake, and Candy. Hope everything is good.
Yeah, Jake, everything's good. Jake's welcome to the show, man. So good to have you on. We're training Jake this morning, so he's learning everything, and he's doing a great job. By my estimation, we don't have an awful lot of stuff that, like, has happened, which I will take. That is a good story. We do have a little bit of, follow-up, I guess, the Pensacola Village shooting that took place about a week or so ago, and there have been some subsequent gunfire in the vicinity. Is that true?
Yeah, there has been. You know, we're still working on that. There was one arrest made on a weapons charge of a juvenile right after that incident happened. So investigators are still working on the case as far as the homicide goes. And we have had some additional shootings both in the area of Pensacola Village and other parts of the city. Fortunately, nobody's been hurt. So that's a good thing. And we always encourage people that if they have any information to give us a call or Crime Stoppers a call, and we could sure use that information. So we're still working on it.
Pensacola Village, I'm going on memory here, but I think that's going to be outside the ShotSpotter zone. Is that right? That will not cover Pensacola Village, right?
I know it's kind of where this is going to go. I don't know if it's going to include Pensacola Village or not, but you also, this where it goes is something that could be changed on a whim or, sure. If we need to do that. So I haven't seen a map of it. I've been told where the area is, and I haven't seen the specific map. So kind of don't want to answer that specifically yet until I know for sure.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. But, just as a reminder that this very frustrating situation where you get gunfire and you get a call and then that's what you learn and did anybody see or hear, and it's very hard to find anything, even to sometimes not even to find a bullet or something like that, a casing. Some of that is going to get better fairly soon because we're going to have the ShotSpotter in place, and it's important to remind people about that. That's fairly soon though, right? Within a couple of months?
It shouldn't be too much longer. The infrastructure is being put in place now, so hopefully not too much longer.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about a little bit is, obviously with the events in the Middle East, there's a lot of concern here in the States about possible targeting of Jews, Jewish organizations, synagogues, schools, and the like. I know you guys are always in good, and especially we had these incidents recently, with these young people who were, involved in anti-Semitic acts. Have we seen any credible threats, and what are you guys doing to protect our Jewish citizens?
Chief Randall has been in contact with officials at these locations, and we do have extra patrols in that area. And, so I'll leave it at that. We are aware of what's going on, obviously, and officers are going to be taking an extra look.
Okay. And again, more of a just in case you didn't remember this, because it happened several years ago when Chief Leiter was chief, somewhere, I forget if it was after or before the NES Pensacola shooting, but I think it was before. You correct me if I'm wrong. Chief Leiter made the decision to purchase ARs, 15s for, the police version of this, so that every patrol car has the ability to respond to an incident with significant firepower if needed, if something like that happens, right?
Yeah, that was a direct result of the five officers in Dallas, Texas, getting gunned down from afar. They were gunned down from way across the street, and the chief thought about this, and we had no way of responding to that sort of situation. So the chief, the city council, the city of Pensacola, we're all fixed that very quickly, and we're glad to see that happen.
Absolutely. And that's just, you know, I don't know that there's any reason to think that anything like that would happen here, but obviously this, you know, knowing that your law enforcement has a better capability to respond today than they had 10 years ago, that's the only point I wanted to make about that. One of the other things I was going to... Go ahead.
It wasn't the rifles. The ballistic helmets and vests were also purchased at the same time. That's something that we did not have, that we couldn't, don very quickly. Some of that stuff was at the station, but now the officers have that, and that's something they can put on in a situation quickly now. So all that happened about the same time.
Yeah, and look, we hate to live in a world where that has to be the way police have to think, but we do live in that world, and I'm glad that you're thinking that way and now more capable to respond to that. We've been talking quite a bit over the last week or so about the issue of panhandling. It's kind of started with a compare and shop between Santa Rosa and Escambia County, and it looks like Santa Rosa has a more restrictive ordinance requiring a solicitation permit that you have to pass a background check to get, and more robust enforcement of that law. The question remains whether that law is constitutional, and it may not be. Meanwhile, in Escambia County, the law is weaker. And it also may have trouble legally, as we talked to Chip Simmons about this the other day. And it seems like everybody wants to do something. Everybody wants to have better restrictions because people don't want to go downtown because of parking and panhandling. You know, the two P's are discouraging people from downtown and a lot of other places as well. And yet the challenge is if you don't have a law you can't enforce, what's the point? And can we get a law that we can enforce? Meanwhile, Alex Andrade, our state rep, has actually filed a bill on a bill that would bring it under charitable donations. So, you know, the charity of Sam's Beer Fund at the corner of Palafox and whatever becomes a charity that has to be regulated to some degree by the city or the county, giving law enforcement officers a chance to do some enforcement if need be. All that long-winded run-up to say, is this a challenge, a problem for the Pensacola Police Department that you wish you had a better ability to have a clearer law that you could enforce more rigorously?
Well, first of all, downtown Pensacola is a safe place to be. And there are and have been panhandling issues for a long time. Now, we have to enforce the laws that are currently on the books. This is something that's above law enforcement. This is something that has to be handled at the legislative level. And once the attorneys finish figuring out what's legal and what's not, the laws that are left behind are the ones that we're going to enforce. So, you know, everybody wants to see panhandling disappear, but you also want to be sympathetic to those who are homeless. So it's a fine line, and it's our job to enforce the laws that are on the books, and we sort of have to just sit back and see how it plays out. And once it does, and then we will enforce those laws.
And whatever the law is, y'all will enforce it.
Yeah, I mean, that's our job. So it's not
right.
Our job it's not our job to legislate, but
that's right.
We'll see how this turns out, and then we'll enforce those laws.
I just know there's a lot of times when people are like, why don't the cops do something about that? You know, funny thing about that, you know, they're actually not allowed to do the things that are not prohibited, and there's a thing called a constitution and precedent that guides everything that they do as well. We're talking to Mike Wood. He's a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Let's get a quick traffic on the fives here from Jake, who's learning how to do things. Jake?
Yes. I-10 still at Pine Forest. We have that accident blocking all the westbound lanes. Eastbound, it's going to be slow. It starts letting up around the Car City exit 10. We have another accident over on Highway 29 and Detroit Boulevard, backed up in all directions. Chemukla Highway and Norris Road, we have a vehicle crash there. Also, Klondike Road and Mobile Highway is slow in all directions. Not sure if there's an accident there yet or not, but something's slowing things down there. If you have any traffic tips, please text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Great work. Back to Mike Wood. He's a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Oh, by the way, I got a funny text in from a friend that says, on panhandling, maybe we can use the Al Capone approach. Go for them for tax evasion. Maybe. Well. All right. Mike, I want to ask you to weigh in on that. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for us this week?
Yeah, we do. Look, this is a perception type situation. When an officer pulls up to an intersection and they're looking at all the drivers around them. Now, the perception is the driver's thinking, look, this officer's looking for something, to a ticket to write, looking to mess with me in some way. That's not at all what's going on. Now, having said that, if we look over and we see you're not wearing a seatbelt, or there's a child that's not in a being restrained properly, then that's something we're probably going to have to stop and talk about. But what's actually going on there is officers are taught from day one in rookie school in the police academy to be aware of what's their surroundings. It's called situational awareness. And so every stop, and if you'll remember a few weeks back, there was a sheriff's deputy in Los Angeles County that was shot and killed while he was simply sitting at a stoplight. So every time we approach a stoplight, we're going to look at the vehicles around us. We're going to look at the people that are in those vehicles. And it's not just at stoplights. It's everywhere we go. It's ingrained in us to know, to have situational awareness, to look at what's going on in front of us, what's going on around us, and is there anything wrong? And if there is, what we're going to do about it? How many possibilities are going on? So that's what's going on in our heads. And it's not just while we're on duty. We do this when we're off duty. You know, when we pull into parking lots, we're looking around, what's right or what's wrong with this picture. Even restaurants, when we walk in there before we go in, or convenience stores, we're looking through the windows and doors to get a glimpse of anything that might be out of place inside. And any family member of any law enforcement officer can tell you that when you walk into a restaurant or anywhere else, the officer is always going to sit with his back to the wall. He's going to look at the door. He's going to look at potential exits and problems in the room. So that's what's going on. We're not looking to pick on anybody. We're not staring at you. We are just simply making ourselves aware of our surroundings for safety reasons.
You've heard the expression, have your head on a swivel. And where there might be, you know, bobbleheads in sports, there's swivel heads in cop cars. And, you know, that's...
Yeah, so if we could learn to turn our head 360 degrees, that's certainly an exercise that we would all learn how to do, and we would employ that.
I think you misspoke. You meant to say that was an exorcist you'd all learn to do.
That's good. That's good.
Thanks. Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for keeping us informed, answering my questions, and for keeping us safe, man. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
7:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are a business, you've got employees, you've got to deal with benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, payroll, all of that kind of stuff. Hey, that's great. These are good problems to have, because that means you have a thriving, growing business with employees. I mean, yay, right? You got there. But you may not love doing it, so get some help. Torgerson Causey, they're a comprehensive employee benefits agency. They do great work. I know, because we work with them here at News Radio. They manage our insurance benefits, and I honestly didn't know what we didn't have before we had them. And then when we got them, I'm like, oh, you mean you can have choices? You know, and oh, you mean you can have people who really understand what's going on and they can answer my questions, including the very detail-oriented ones that my engineer wife likes to ask? Oh, yeah. Wow. Amazing. So they have been fantastic for us for the last 6 years here at News Radio and Cat Country. More than 20 years helping local businesses like yours do this better. Give them a call. Find out what they might be able to do for you. No obligation. They'll look at what you're doing and say, we can make that better. Or, nope, you're doing the best you can right now. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey. Or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Deep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson
goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Caught! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Tune in today to the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10:30, where there'll be a guest speaker from Pensacola State College on the show, talking about everything coming up in the fourth quarter. Everything from the Foo Foo Fest and Escape to Margaritaville to Christmas at the college. So much is coming up at Pensacola State College that you won't want to miss it. Tune in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel to learn more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. Nice, man. I am dangerous.
Anytime I need to see your face, I just close my eyes. And I am taken to a place where your crystal mind and magenta feeling take a chapter in the face of my spine, straight like a chicken cherry cola. I don't need to try to explain, I just hold on tight. And if it happens again, I'ma move so slightly to the arms and the lips and the face of the human kind of all that I need.
A lot of the content that we're seeing right now includes terrorist propaganda, includes extraordinarily graphic, violent content. Mis and disinformation and hate speech.
This clip, viewed more than 140,000 times on X, formerly known as Twitter, is actually a trailer for the video game Arma 3. And this video, falsely claiming to show the Israeli Air Force striking targets in Gaza, is a real video of an Israeli strike, but from May, not the current fighting.
It shouldn't really surprise anybody that Hamas lies. I mean, people who will, and again, I hate to mention it, but torture, rape, abduct, and behead children even, will of course lie on social media. And so, for example, there's videos running around of them claiming to have taken out a Israeli helicopter with a, let's see, a Stinger. And it's a great video. It's very vivid, and it comes from a video game. And there's another video of, you know, rocket fire going off, and it's also a great video which comes from a video game. And then there's the one from May that's not even current footage. Of course. I mean, of course. It lies, misinformation, disinformation, deception, of course. That's all part and parcel of the way they operate. 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Jake is learning the ropes for Candy this morning.
Jake,
you got traffic on the fives.
It's just like all my friends back in the day would send me videos of their gameplay, and I'm like, why do I want to watch this? I don't care. I-10 at Pine Forest is just a mess both directions. An accident was blocking all westbound lanes. Eastbound lets up around the Car City Exit 10. Another accident on Highway 29 in Detroit Boulevard has everything backed up in all directions. Chemukla Highway and Norris Road, there's a vehicle crash there. If you have any traffic tips, please text them in at 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
By the way, we did get a note that the at Detroit, it's not an accident. It's just volume from all of the overflow coming off of I-10 and 29. But yeah, I'm looking at the map and I'm like, it's the devil triangle this morning between basically the 9 Mile and I-10 intersection, the 9 Mile and US 29 intersection, and then the US 29 Pensacola Boulevard and I-10. Everything connected to that triangle is a hot mess this morning. So if you can not get in your car, or if you can go around, by all means do so. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David.
Israel's right-wing government and members of the centrist opposition have now formed a unity government. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel today. He congratulated Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on the move.
We welcome the government's creation and the unity and resolve that it reflects across Israel society.
Defense officials say so far about 1,200 Israelis have been killed by Hamas militants. The Palestinian Health Ministry says around 1,300 people have been killed in Gaza and hundreds of hostages still remain held. More United Auto Workers union members have gone on strike. The union says 8,700 UAW members at the Kentucky Ford plant are now joining the strike. That's where the big F-Series pickup trucks are made. Strike going on several weeks now. And there was finally a winner of the big Powerball jackpot last night. Wasn't me. I'll be here tomorrow. But a winning ticket worth $1.7 billion was sold again in California, which is also where the last giant jackpot winner was.
And how much did they win?
$1.7 billion. I guess what's like 700-something
that's
million.
That's almost enough to buy you a house in California.
Just about. Just,
yeah, a down payment.
Right?
That's a good down payment
it is,
for a
yeah.
house in California.
It'll get you a real good interest rate.
David, thanks so much for the update. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We got a little bit of a news note yesterday for those who care. It's still one of those what the kind of news notes, but Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith are apparently separating. Yeah, so they're Shocker. Splitting up. I know. They're going to live separately, and they are going to start doing this in 2016. They've been doing this for 7 years. They're going to real soon separate, and apparently they've been doing this for 7 years. So, yeah, the slap heard round the world was 6 years into their separation. And was it a skit? She says that's what she thinks. So, you know, she thought at the time it was just a skit. So, oh, and by the way, I was reading this story. I don't want to misquote any of this because I thought it was so entertaining and weird and bizarre. But so apparently she and Chris Rock have had, you know, kind of a friendship relationship for a long time. And apparently several years ago, there were rumors that they were splitting up. And so Chris Rock's first thought is, oh, I'm going to get me some of that. And he calls and asks her out. Chris, he said that he thought we were getting a divorce. So he called me and basically was like, I'd love to take you out. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, aren't you and Will getting a divorce? And she says, no, Chris, those are just rumors. He was appalled and he profusely apologized. And that was that. Of course, what I want to know is, well, was that 8 years ago or 4 years ago? So you're learning stuff all the time.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The man charged last weekend with holding a woman and a child hostage is now facing a murder charge. We'll have more on that after Fox News at News Radio 92.3.
We're not going anywhere. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. That pledge from Secretary of State Antony Blinken.